for joining us for another episode of Razz Blitz. This is our third episode. I am your host, Matt. You can find me on Twitter at Razzball_MB. And joining me today, as always, is Zach. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm in New York City for a couple weeks. Yeah. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. We did a podcast with Kyle Posey. And it was a couple weeks ago, but the recording didn't end up sounding good.
So
it's
terrible.
It's just one of those things, and we will get him back sometime this summer before the season starts to talk about rookies and whatnot. But we did catch up a little bit, so I guess we'll kind of just reiterate what we talked about. I had gone to Des Moines, and I saw Travis Scott. And then the next weekend, I went and saw Future and Migos in Chicago.
No big deal.
It was a good couple weekends. And so caught a Cubs game with one of my buddies for his bachelor party. So did quite a bit of traveling, quite a bit of eating, quite a bit of drinking. And you were in Baltimore a couple weeks ago, and now you're in New York City, so you're a traveling man as well.
Yeah, it was so I was up in Baltimore, and for those people that don't know, Jay actually is pretty much in that area, and so as soon as he caught wind of the fact that I was coming to Baltimore, he's like, all right, I'm going to go to North Carolina. So he got out of Dodge quickly.
He got out of Dodge when he found out.
Dude, he was like, oh, crap, Zach's coming up. Oh, I got to go. And he was like, I have, like, an aunt I need to visit. He's gone, dude.
It's funny because every time, I mean, we text back and forth about articles and whatnot. And, like, I'm a pretty impatient person. And, like, when I want to get something done, like, I want to get it done. And I get anxious, and then when he doesn't text me back right away, like, I call him, and he has never answered the phone when I call him.
Yeah. No, I'm actually, like, legitimate. I legitimately believe Jay hates all of us.
He probably not.
He was like, here's a good idea. How about you and Matt go do your own thing? Do a separate podcast. Leave me alone.
So we don't have to podcast with you anymore. No, he's awesome because he ended up calling me back. Nah. He had something going on, but I just thought it was funny. He's like, oh, you can text, but you can't answer the phone.
For those people that don't follow Jay on Twitter, I would highly advise doing so because he'll be – he just sent out the news that he's opening his art gallery. So anyone who's on the Twitter, go follow Jay and keep up with the happenings for his art gallery. It should be really awesome.
Yeah, Jay's quite the dude. Also, if you don't like Donald Trump, you should follow Jay too.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, we were supposed to have T-Hole on tonight, but he's actually back in his hometown in Seattle doing some family stuff, so our times just didn't link up. So we are going to get him on next week, and I think coming up here we're gonna get Justin Mason from Friends with Fantasy Benefits too, and we're gonna try and get a Matt is coming on,
and also too Stan's son, for those people that follow the basketball side of things. He also does football work, but he'll be taking over things with Viz. T-Hole and himself are going to start running the basketball site I'm blanking on his name. I feel terrible because he's an absolute stud.
Well, I guess he doesn't Gilpin? Matter anymore.
Gilpin. Yeah, he left. And so now it's them three that's running the basketball side. But yeah, we got a packed couple weeks full of guests.
Yeah, and we're going to get more and more Razzball people on the podcast if they want to come on.
Especially when training camp opens.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get right into the news since we haven't caught up in a while. I think this is just pretty much going to be a news episode and just get you guys caught up on all the stuff that's happened around the NFL over the past month with mini camps and just signings and injuries especially and whatnot. So Jeremy Maclin is going to Baltimore after a surprise release from Kansas City. I wrote an article
Excellent one.
This past week, kind of given the Razzballians my thoughts on Jeremy Maclin going to Baltimore, but we haven't heard from you, Zach. Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, so with and we'll get to Pitta specifically, but with Dennis Pitta gone, Steve Smith gone, Kamar Aiken out of the picture, Maclin should be the go-to guy. I mean, sure, they like Breshad Perriman. You know, he is the future of this wide receiver core. But like what you said in your article, Matt, like, he's the perfect wide receiver three. Like, I mean, if you were to go RB heavy, I don't hate him as a wide receiver too, but if I'm able to get, like, a truly balanced team and put Maclin either on the bench or in that flex spot, like, I'm a happy camper. And this is all based on the fact that I think the idea is that he'll play the slot, which is really good. I think he did sometimes in Kansas City, but until especially once what's his name started stretching the field.
Yeah, I know who you're talking. Breshad Perriman.
No, in Kansas City, Tyreek Hill. When Tyreek Hill came into the picture, Maclin kind of went into the slot, and he did all right. Definitely better than as the deep threat, and I think that's where they'll probably put him in Baltimore, because Mike Wallace should still be the deep threat.
Yeah, he's going to definitely be the go-to guy, especially in PPR.
For sure.
Because with Breshad Perriman and Mike Wallace, those are both two guys who stretch the field and are pretty much all or nothing downfield. Not necessarily all or nothing downfield, but they're the fast guys that are going to get the 30-yard gains, and I think Macklin's going to be the guy that's catching 7-8 balls a game. But it's all health pending. It's all, sure, and, you know, how he clicks with Flacco.
Yeah, and also one thing to keep in mind is that he'll have to be competing somewhat for touches with Danny Woodhead, because now that they truly have a pass catching running back like Woodhead, that will add an extra dimension to this Ravens team that, aside from their defense, which is, like, I would say they're, like, middle of the road, maybe, like, this is shaping up to be a really talented Baltimore offense.
All right. Dennis Pitta was, as you previously stated, released by the Ravens after suffering a hip dislocation. This is, like, what, his third or fourth one?
His third, I believe.
Yeah, so one can imagine his career is probably over, which kind of sucks.
It does. He was, like, one of my favorite, like, human beings in the NFL.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He seemed like such a great guy.
RIP Dennis Pitta's career.
Yeah.
Hopefully he finds something to do with football.
Definitely.
To keep him busy.
He'll probably join some as, like, an analyst, either in college or the NFL.
Right. So, yeah, the Colts placed Christian Michael on injured reserve, while CBS Indy's Mike Chappell expects Frank Gore to be the workhorse yet again. So
yeah,
we have to deal with Frank Gore
as
being the solid flex play yet again.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Does anything change with Frank Gore from last year? Is it just going to be more of the same?
Points. Yeah, no, I think it does change, because they finally have a healthy Luck coming into the season. Mm-hmm. They have some offensive lineman pieces coming back healthy.
Okay.
Right, so I mean, you never want to see this, right? Like, you never want to see Christine Michael being placed on injured reserve. But aside from real life, like, just in fantasy, it's good to see that now that we know that Michael's out of the picture, that Gore is going to be the workhorse, right?
Right.
So before this, it was kind of foggy, right? Like, we didn't know if Michael would be, you know, taking any touches, especially on the goal line. But, like, now that he's out of the picture, Frank Gore will be the workhorse. Like, I think Chappell's, like, 100% right. And like we discussed earlier, it's Gore now and then Marlon Mack in the future from USF, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, coming into drafts in August, like, the more and more that I play fantasy football as the years go on, like, the more that I value the Frank Gores that are sitting around in, like, the 10th or 11th round. Yeah, exactly. So when Frank Gore is sitting there in the 10th or 11th round,
yeah, maybe even earlier, like, you can 9th or 8th.
Whoa, don't get fucking crazy, man. No, no, I hear you. But yeah, it's the value picks. The guys who are starting running backs are going to get you points, and the guys that are starting running backs are always valuable because running backs are always going down. They always will go down. They always have gone down. And yeah, it's a shit show out there on the waiver wire.
It is.
All right, we're picking up about a week later. We both ran into busy schedules. Zach was still out of town doing some fun stuff with writing, weren't you?
Yeah, and in New York City.
Yeah, Zach was in New York City, and I had some work stuff going on. So we're picking up about a week later. So we left off at Frank Gore. So let's pick up with Matt Jones, who's asked his agent to be released from the Redskins. I didn't really think he was going to be fantasy relevant at all. So this just kind of helps out our boy Samaje a little bit.
Perrine. Yeah. And so I would initially say that Perrine would have it wrapped up, but Rob Kelly seems to be coming back into play, and the running back coach, you know, he doesn't seem to really favor either one, but he did say that Kelly's actually losing weight, and he should be in competition for this lead spot. And honestly, we need to wait it out until training camp to see who's going to be the lead back, and then, you know, adjust our rankings accordingly.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't going to be decided until probably the third or fourth preseason game. Definitely. And even then, maybe they could be splitting carries all season. But as far as, say, you had to draft in mid-August or something like that, which one would you take a flyer on? Because I'm guessing you're not going to have to spend, like, a pick in the top 8 rounds for either of these guys.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Being that they're in such close competition, but if you had to pick one, gun to your head, I hate the expression, but I guess we can use it here. Which one would you take if you had to draft early?
If I'm drafting next week or anytime recently, I'm taking Perrine.
Yeah, I agree with you. We've seen Kelly, the coaching staff seen Kelly, and
they're getting from him as of now.
Exactly, and there's a lot of upside with Perrine, so I agree with you. Next, we have Sammy Watkins, who he's been, by the time we're recording this, he's been back in practice for a while after his foot has fully healed. Sorry about that. So are we finally going to see some games out of Sammy Watkins this year, or is this dream just never going to happen? Are we never going to see the 1,500 yard, 12 touchdown season, and that we expect from him?
No, I actually do think this could be the year where the draft pick that the Bills spent on him actually pays off. I've been saying it all along. It's going to be just him and LeSean McCoy. But actually, I want to ask you something. If Sammy Watkins plays 16 games, where do you put Tyrod Taylor in your rankings?
That's a good question. Definitely top 15.
I think definitely top 15, but are we confident enough to say top 12? I know T-Hole is, but asking
I don't... absolutely. I've always liked Tyrod Taylor. I'm not going to say I'm the Christopher Columbus or what have you, the Tyrod Taylor movement.
Yeah.
historical inaccuracies be damned, but I've always been Tyrod Taylor. I think he has a great arm, and I think he's a pretty decent decision maker on the field, and he's a great playmaker, and I like that Coach Rex Ryan is not
Yeah, I was gonna say that because I wonder how it changes now without, because you know Ryan was grounded.
He's gonna throw more than 20 passes a game. Running back core is going to be more involved in the passing game. I think they're going to finally find a way to be creative with him.
Definitely.
If Sammy Watkins is healthy and producing, I think he's borderline top 12 by the end of the season. I'm not going to rank him there in my preseason rankings because this is all based on a healthy Sammy Watkins, and we haven't had that yet. What's the news on Zay Jones? Is he going to be healthy for training camp?
Yes, but it's still – the jury's still out on whether he's good or not.
Right.
That's a weird way to put it, but
– No, yeah, I understand. God, it would have been nice if
they still have the tight end there. I'm blanking on his name, but
– Charles Clay.
Yeah, he's still there, but I mean, again – I think this entire offense is based on the fact that we're assuming that Watkins can be fully healthy.
If Watkins can be fully healthy and be taking away a lot of the attention of the secondary, I think there's got to be someone there that can emerge.
I think that's LeSean McCoy.
Who, obviously LeSean McCoy, but I mean on the receiving side of the ball.
Yeah.
There's got to be someone who's going to emerge. Jones. Whether it's Zay Jones or someone who has an impressive training camp or something, I mean, healthy Sammy Watkins will lead to a threat on the other side of the field because he's going to take away attention. So, yeah, I like Tyrod Taylor with a healthy Sammy Watkins and a very productive, once again productive, LeSean McCoy. And with Rex Ryan gone, it's definitely something that I'll be looking at for my backup QB in the later rounds and just seeing where it goes from there. But in other quarterback news, since we got off on a Tyrod Taylor tangent, the Browns quarterback coach believes DeShone Kizer is, quote, not ready to play. He started, what, like 11 games or something in college? Something like that.
I don't know. Just a messy situation in general.
It's Brock Osweiler's team this year.
Kessler? I honestly do. I honestly really do.
He wasn't horrible last year. He wasn't horrible at all.
No, but I really do believe that they tried their hardest to get rid of Osweiler. And you saw that they drafted Kizer, and I think it's Cody Kessler. And I think Cody Kessler, in terms of fantasy, I think one of the weeks where he'll go up against, you know, the Jets or whatever the situation is, we can use him as a streaming option. But I really don't want any part of this offense except for maybe Isaiah Crowell and then Corey Coleman.
Yeah, absolutely. Isaiah Crowell, they're going to run the ball more this year.
I don't know, because they said that last year, and they didn't. So they have a good enough offensive line, and I completely am on your side. They're supposed to run it more. I think it's good for the team if they run it more. But
right, absolutely. Maybe they learned a lesson from last year that they just can't throw the ball, especially with Terrell Pryor. Because
they were banking on RG3.
Oh, man, that's a messed up situation over there. Thoughts and prayers to Browns fans. But yeah, it's probably not going to be DeShone Kizer this year. Zach thinks it's Cody Kessler. I think Brock Osweiler is going to get the week one start, and then we'll go from there and see how terrible he is.
Baby steps.
We'll just see what happens. Mike Kay, a Jacksonville reporter, believes TJ Yeldon could be cut. What do you think about this, Zach? Do you think it's a Leonard Fournette show?
Yeah, I do, but I don't know. I don't know. I've done a whole bunch of mock drafts from Fantasy Football Calculator. A lot of what I'm seeing is that his ADP is currently in the fourth round, and I don't know if I'm okay with that.
Oh, why not?
Well, because with any rookie, I understand that it's a good situation, but this isn't a good offense in general, and I would just rather take a running back in that range that is in a good offense. I'm trying to think of, like, options I could get. I mean...
Ooh, in the fourth round.
In the fourth round, what running back option? Well, either way, you know, he's a rookie, and coming off of a knee injury in college, I just don't know if I want to pay up that much for him, even if he is the bell cow there.
Yeah, I think he could end up being Trent Richardson 2.0. He's a big downhill runner, but he doesn't have, like, I don't know, ankle-breaking moves, stuff like that. He wasn't putting up big numbers in college from shotgun, and from what I've personally watched from Jacksonville, I don't have the exact statistics on it, but from what I watch, Blake Bortles likes to be in shotgun a lot. It gives him more time to throw the ball. And, I mean, that's where Fournette struggled the most in college.
That's an excellent point.
Like you said, he didn't have the cleanest bill of health, but I know you do like him. So what do you like about Fournette? You can go ahead and be my devil's advocate here.
Sure. I just like the fact that he's the bell cow. In any situation, if you're getting a significantly large amount of carries, you'll be producing, even if it isn't, you know, like, people get the idea that if you're a bell cow, you automatically have to be a top five talent. No, you can be the bell cow, but you can still be an RB3, RB4, just based on workload alone. You don't have to you don't have to produce at an elite level, and I think you talked about that earlier, the fact that he struggles when getting past the line of scrimmage. All you really need is, what, 8 touchdowns, maybe 1,200 yards, if that. No, not 1,200 yards. That's too much.
right.
Like 950.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, yeah, if you're looking for running back 3 numbers. But when we brought up Leonard Fournette, you said his ADP is around the fourth round. So yeah. There are strategies where people do try and find their RB3 in the fourth round. But
sure.
And I guess I can. Okay, if you're going running back heavy,
yeah,
and you wanted to play a running back in your flex, so you take, I don't know, say you land in the top 3, or and you take Bell or Johnson or Elliott, or
sure.
you land outside the top 5, and you know you want to go with the 3 running backs, so you take Howard if you're towards the end of the round. And then you take another running back, or a wide receiver, another running back. And if you want to take your third running back in the fourth round to play in your flex spot, I have no problem with drafting Fournette.
I don't know. It's funny because we've been going back and forth on this. I just think that just goes to show you that there's just a hint of it's a foggy situation. And for me personally, I don't want to overinvest in a rookie running back unless they're in a situation where the offensive line play is excellent. And I don't know if I can say that about Jacksonville.
It's definitely not in Jacksonville. No, but I was just going from the point of view of going running back heavy. I'm not touching Fournette.
I think that should be the answer, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just saying that if you believe in the guy, and you're going running back heavy, go for it. I'm not going to tell you not to, because definitely I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again. So
yeah.
Anyways, back to TJ Yeldon. Yeah, I think he's going to be on the roster this year. I think they're trying to light a fire under his ass. Who's the other guy? Is it Chris Ivory?
Yeah.
If anyone's going to be cut, I think it'll be him. I think TJ Yeldon, what is he, in his third year of his rookie deal?
Yeah, maybe, if that.
Yeah, I think this is his third season. Yeah, this is his third season coming up here. Yeah, he's going to be a part of the roster. They'll let his rookie deal work out and then either not re-sign him or what, but it doesn't make any sense for them to cut a third year running back, especially since he wasn't, I don't know. I don't think it's totally his fault that he didn't have the numbers in the first 2 seasons. I think a lot of it had to do with a completely faltering offense. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with that assessment.
All right. A Bengals staffer told the Monday Morning QB's Albert Breer that Joe Mixon looks like a beast. We've been talking about this. Yeah,
the hype train keeps rolling.
Waters West, death taxes, and Joe Mixon's a beast. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't listened to our previous episode, sorry about that. But we're both really high on Joe Mixon. I think he's going to be the best.
I don't know if I'm that high on him, but I'm slowly coming around to the fact that
I'm sorry to speak for you.
I know you're really high on Joe Mixon. I think from the jump, even before the draft, even before he landed in Cincinnati, you told me he was probably one of the best pure raw talent in the draft at the running back position.
Okay, the Oklahoma played in the Sugar Bowl, was it? Whatever BCS bullshit bowl game it was, I watched it, and my God, he has so much talent. He can do everything.
Yeah.
And this was just another walk in the park for him. It was just another day. Like, he's going to be a monster.
I was just going to say that, I don't know, I'm just slowly coming around to the fact that he'll probably end up as an RB3 by the end of the year.
RB3, wow.
As in, like, on a fantasy team. Yeah.
Okay. What's the difference between him and Ezekiel Elliott?
Wait, you think he's higher than an RB3?
Yes. Absolutely.
Really?
Jordan Howard ended up being an RB1 by the end of his rookie year.
Yeah, but...
not saying I'm going to draft him high. Like,
yeah, no, you make a great point. You make a great point.
If he's sitting there in the third round, I'm absolutely taking him.
Honestly, and I don't know if this is just the Judaism in me speaking, but I get nervous. I just get nervous when we're talking about these rookie running backs that haven't seen the NFL field. It's so much different from college to the NFL.
I understand that he is
a beast, but like, just
past year, and he's a fucking monster.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I understand that he was good against college kids, right? And I understand that right now the idea is in that in somewhat contact rookie minicamp, he's getting these great reports. I want to see what he's like preseason.
Absolutely.
Talk about the fact that Joe Mixon should be a third round pick. Absolutely. I would much rather take, another back. I would much rather. I'm trying to think of guys that I would want over Mixon at this point.
Okay, I'm just gonna tell you something real quick while you're thinking of that. I did the same thing that you're doing this year. I did the same thing with Ezekiel Elliott last year.
Yeah, but I just think that was different because of the offensive line because Dallas.
Because he doesn't have a domestic abuse charge.
But also too, I think when we're comparing rookie running backs from years past to this year, I think Elliott should be the outlier because we won't see a situation in the NFL like Dallas where the offensive line is just head and shoulders above anyone else.
So yeah, I mean, it was justifiable to pick him in the first. What was his ADP last year?
I think his ADP was like maybe in the like 10 or 11.
Yeah, yeah.
He was definitely a first rounder, if not like early second round in like a 10 team.
Yeah, and I was kind of getting to the point of what I'm saying is I avoided him because I'd never seen him on the NFL field before. We'd only seen him in college. So, and I regret that. Like, I passed over him in a keeper league. I'm in a home league. I have a
and other people did too. Like, you weren't the only.
I know, and I even wrote about it. Like,
Alex Lee who wrote that?
That was Alex Lee. Okay. Yeah, he had an amazing title for that.
Yeah, you weren't the only. You weren't the only guy.
Well, someday I'll get over it, and I'll never get the ADP that he had last year because he's going to be a top three pick for the rest of his career.
As we actually have the next news piece about him.
Oh, what's that?
The news about how they want to get him involved in the passing game.
Whom?
Elliott.
Okay. Go ahead and tell me about it.
Yeah, no. So Cowboys running backs coach Gary Brown said that Elliott will absolutely see more work in the passing game this year. And personally, I think this is a huge piece of news if we continue to get these reports. Because I think people want David Johnson or Lev Bell because of their PPR, especially in PPR leagues, because of their receiving potential.
David Johnson's like pretty much unmatched, I think, he's in PPR.
Yeah. However, if I can get a later spot in my draft where I can get Elliott at three, four.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless someone in the top three is trying to avoid running back, which there are people who want to go wide receiver, no matter where they are. Wide receiver first, I mean, you're not getting him past three.
No, definitely not. But, I mean, if we see Elliott get a huge workload in the passing game, I would want that opportunity to get an earlier pick in the second round and over David Johnson if the two of them are both equally as productive. If not, you know, David Johnson is more productive by the hair, you know, by a slim margin. No, if I can get that wide receiver pick.
Yeah, I hear you, but I respectfully disagree. I think David Johnson is the clear cut number one.
Sure. Yeah, before we recorded this, I was watching NFL Network. I was watching NFL Total Access, and they had him on in an interview, and he said, "My goal is to get 1,000 yards running and 1,000 yards receiving." Like his goal is 2,000 all purpose.
Guess who did that last year? David Johnson.
No, I'm saying no. David Johnson didn't get 1,000 yards.
Are you sure?
Receiving, 100% positive. Yeah.
Okay, let me check real quick.
No, because his goal now is to be more productive in the passing game.
I thought you were talking about Ezekiel Elliott.
No. I'm saying David Johnson was on, and he was saying.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
David Johnson's goal now.
I could have swore David Johnson got 1,000 yards receiving. No, what do you get? No. What do you get? Like 800 or 900?
Something. Yeah.
So I'm looking it up now. David Johnson receiving stats 2,600. Okay, 879. Got it.
Yeah, but honestly, what you were saying earlier is David Johnson, I think, should be the unanimous number one pick. But that's not like a hot take. I think everyone knows that.
Yeah, have we ever had like as clear cut of a 1-2-3 as we have?
I think last year Antonio Brown was the clear cut number one.
Who was the clear cut number two? David Johnson?
Odell. I think it was AB, then Odell, then Julio, or at least AB, Julio, and then Odell. That's how I remember it, at least.
Yeah, and it's just.
But you're right, though. The top is pretty clear in terms of running backs.
So, yeah, folks, just keep that in mind when you're drafting, that last year was three wide receivers that went top three, unless there was someone who took David Johnson, which, I mean, in a lot of cases people did. And then this year it's running backs. So the trends change from year to year. Just take the player you believe in.
Yeah. I won't talk you out of taking Antonio Brown instead of Lev Bell. If your reasoning behind that is, when was the last time Lev Bell had a 16-week year? Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
So just do what makes you comfortable.
Yep. Okay. The rant, getting off the subject there a little bit. Sorry about that. Rams coach Sean McVay said he projects Tavon Austin to be a big part of the offense this year. Do you have anything to make out of it? Or,
I don't buy it.
No, I don't either. I think they've been saying this since the second season.
Oh, my God. They've been saying this since when they drafted him.
He's a glorified kick returner.
Yeah. Oh, that's a very good point. And I think a lot of – and. There could be the reasoning that, you know, this is McVay saying it instead of Jeff Fisher for the, you know, 12th time saying it. But, I mean, if you just look at their offseason moves, they've invested in Farrow Cooper. They drafted another rookie this year, and then they signed Robert Woods. He's not the guy at all.
No, I totally agree. They find a way to get creative with him every year. He makes a few plays. He gains some yards, but he's never going to be a guy that you can just put in your lineup week to week and just be all right, this is my flex guy. This is the guy I drafted to be my flex guy. People tried it for the first 3 years. I mean, he had the hype as a rookie that he was going to produce right away. And then, okay, he didn't produce right away. He just needed a year. And it just kind of snowballed the next couple years, and it just never happened. It's probably never going to happen. He's a talented football player. He's very fast. He's a Cordarrelle Patterson with a few more yards.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So, I mean, if you want to believe in Tavon Austin, that's fine. I haven't drafted him for the past 2 years in any format.
I don't think I've ever even picked him up off waivers.
No. He's just someone that you can't be comfortable with putting into your lineup. So,
not at all.
All right. Our last thing before we wrap up. It's one of my favorite players, Tavon Austin. Or I'm not Tavon Austin. Terrell Pryor. Kirk Cousins vowed to target him heavily down the field this season. I think Terrell Pryor is going to be a legitimate top 15 wide receiver this year.
Yep.
I am all in on him. He didn't have a quarterback last year.
Nope.
And Kirk Cousins isn't the prettiest girl at the ball, but he's definitely in the upper half of the NFL.
Kirk Cousins isn't the prettiest girl at the ball, but, you know, it's 12:59, the dance ends at 1, and you have to do something.
You're a little young for that reference, but I agree with you 100%. No, if anything, Kirk Cousins has an arm to get him the ball downfield. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of my final hot take for this evening.
Cousins needs to build up his resume for
San Francisco?
Shanahan, yeah.
Yep.
we're both thinking on the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, he's going to do so well to get that money from San Fran.
I know. Have you ever seen a guy who's, I don't know. He does have, he threw for 5,000 yards last year, didn't he?
Kirk Cousins?
I believe.
No, I don't think he threw for 5,000.
Kirk Cousins stats.
No, not even. No, not even a little bit.
Buddy. Yes, he had 4,917 yards last year through the air.
Did he really?
Yes. Wow. So he was 1,000 yards.
No, I apologize. But his touchdown to interception ratio was awful, right?
No. Well, I mean, about average, 25 touchdowns last year, 12 interceptions.
Okay. But
so that's a 2-1 ratio, which is about average.
Interesting.
In 2015, he just threw over 4,000 yards. He's 4,166.
It seemed like last year he didn't do that well, but that just could be,
I think they upgraded over Deshaun. Kind of obvious, but they upgraded their downfield threat from Deshaun Jackson to Terrell Pryor.
I think so. I think that's a fair assessment.
So, yeah, I ended up watching a lot of Browns football last year, which was horrible. On my team that was absolutely horrible, I had Terrell Pryor and Isaiah Crowell. Terrell Pryor has really great body control, and he goes up and gets a lot of passes that I don't see a lot of guys that were drafted ahead of him go up and get. He has great body control. He's fast. He has great hands.
Could you imagine if the Browns kept a hold of him and Travis Benjamin, and they featured Corey Coleman, Travis Benjamin, and Pryor, and then Crowell, and then, I mean,
what about Josh Gordon though? He's never going to be back in the league, but
yeah, he's such a tease.
I know. People still have him in the top 100 in Dynasty, myself included. I think I put him at like number 90 or something in wide receivers.
Yeah.
Just someday for the hope that
he seems like a really nice dude just in general.
Well, yeah, he's high all the time. No, but he does seem like a good kid. He just has a marijuana addiction, whatever that is. I smoked weed for years and I never got addicted to it. But anyways, that's about where we're going to wrap up.
That's a story for another time.
Yes. We're actually going to be back later this week. We're going to try and work out getting on a guest, but it's been a while, so we want to drop a couple episodes on you. So, Zach, why don't you go ahead and give them your Twitter handle?
You can follow me on Twitter at @Razball_Zach.
You can find me on Twitter at @Razball_MB.
Man, we've made it so much more simple than it was when I had to like spell out my actual username back on the main.
Oh, you have one too. Okay, it's OHHAV.
The numbers 1 and 2.
The numbers 1 and 2. Yeah, times are simpler now. All right, so yeah, we'll be back later this week. So keep checking that thread and we'll give you guys what you need. All right.